Our Lady of the Sun of the Rosary of Fatima, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Blessed Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, the 100th anniversary of the Miracle of the Sun. Fatima, in its actual apparition, and really in its daily living, is essentially, you might say, a lay movement. Well, the priests were involved at the beginning, but sort of peripherally on the side, and more often than not, the parish priest is an example of that, actually made trouble and got in the way and sort of retarded things. Then, as we shall see, at the very end, at what was meant to be the summit of the Fatima message and devotion, where the great high priests failed Our Lady in God's plan for peace for this world. It was raining on that day 100 years ago, towards noon. The children were dressed up. Jacinta had a white dress and Lucia a blue one, and they had white wreaths on their head, and as they passed by, the people knelt down in the mud to honor them as though they had the power of saints, T. Marto said. And they got to the crowd, and already there, of course, there were thousands and thousands of people there. And the crowd became quiet as it got towards noon, because it was supposed to happen at noon. And a priest was there, a priest who had been there all night long waiting. Well, he was wet, and he was probably grumpy. And so he looks at his watch, and he says, "It's noon. Where's the Blessed Mother? Our Lady's not a liar." And he closed his watch. It was one of those pocket watches. He closed his watch, and he said, "It's past midday. It's all a delusion. Run away, all of you." And Lucy refused to go, good old Lucy. And the priest began to push the children. And Lucy is ready to cry at this point. And she says very loudly, "If anyone wants to go, they can. I shall stay where I am. Our Lady said she would come, and she will come this time too." And then she said to Jacinta, by means of finishing the thing, she said, "Now kneel down. Our Lady's coming. I see the lightning," because the lightning always came first. And then the Mother of God came. And then someone else, a lady right behind one of the family, says, "Well, be careful, my child. Don't make any mistake in this matter." And then a sort of a mist seemed to surround the oak tree, perhaps the children. And then the crowd hears Lucy say the words that she always says at the beginning, which is, "What do you want of me?" Which is a great thing to say to our Lord and to our Lady at any time. Feel free to. "What do you want of me?" And then the actual apparition is very short. "I want a chapel to be built in my honor. I am the Lady of the Rosary. Continue to say the Rosary every day. The war is going to end, and the soldiers will soon return to their homes." And then Lucy's question again, as previous times, "I have many petitions. Will you grant them? Some yes, some no. People must amend their lives and ask pardon for their sins. They must not offend our Lord anymore. He is already much offended." And then the ending, "Do you want anything more from me?" And Our Lady says, "I want nothing more." And then Lucy cries out, "There she goes! There she goes!" And then she says, "Look at the sun." She didn't mean the miracle of the sun. She meant that final apparition the children saw as promised. That is to say, they see St. Joseph, and he's wearing a robe of dark red, and they can see about half of the baby Jesus in his hands, and St. Joseph is blessing the crowd of people. And then they see what they describe ingeniously as Our Lady of the Two Holy Cards, because they didn't know any other way to phrase it, because remember, Our Lady always had to have a special title. And one of them, the Holy Card, Our Lady's, was Our Lady of Sorrows, but she didn't have any swords in her heart. And the other was Our Lady of Mount Carmel, the scapular, And then, as that's going on, then the people begin to see the great miracle of the sun. Now, Lucy wanted a miracle that would make everyone believe. But probably even Almighty God could not do that, or certainly would not do that. So all these people, up to 100,000, skeptics, atheists, Masons, communists, good, simple, peasant Catholics, they all saw the miracle. They realized it was dry and had been wet a moment before, and somehow or another the clouds all went sort of to the side of the sky, and some saw the sun, they described it as dancing. Some said the sun descended right down upon them. Others said it looked sort of a dull silver, like stainless steel. It was moving this way and that. And some people said, I didn't see anything. Some people didn't see anything. And then at the end, the colors came, because you always had the colors at Fatima. There was a deep purple, and then there was a yellow. Everyone looked like sort of like an old damask tablecloth, they say. And then it was over. One of the most interesting and probably very appropriate reactions was from a Protestant, a young English lady, who, as she admitted, had no particular education, and she was forced to come by the family that was employing her as a nanny. And they drove out, I think, from Lisbon. They were wealthy people, and the car broke down, and they were all in a very grumpy mood when they got there. But then they saw the miracle of the sun. And this young English Protestant lady, she presumed that was just part of life in Europe or part of life in Portugal. She wasn't especially impressed with it one way or another. She saw it, but it made no difference for her. Even if you shall see signs and wonders, our Lord said, you shall not believe. Now, if that's the case, it's understandable in the case of Protestants, certainly, or the case of the faithful in general, even though they did and in very, very great numbers. But what is to be said about the clergy, about these great signs that came? You know, they say at the very end, after all of this temporizing and the non-consecration and the ignoring of the message of Fatima by Pius XI and to a certain degree by Pius XII, they say that he saw in 1950 in the gardens of the Vatican and more than once the miracle of the sun. And yet still he was afraid. He didn't dare just to obey Our Lady. He never dared to ask her that question, what do you want of me to do it? Because by then probably so many of the bishops were bad, bishops who had been appointed by Rome, of course, and he was afraid it would just be a big mess. It would not be diplomatic, and the Russians would be offended if he got all the bishops to consecrate Russia to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. And he did this, that, and the other thing, but he never did what he was asked to do. And then comes the secret. By then, there's no true pope anymore, and we can't put any confidence in what the Novus Ordo says is the secret of Fatima. No, certainly not. And we have this idea that it's something about the changes and the cataclysm and the loss of faith and the terrible chastisement through which we are indeed living now. There was something, our Lord predicted it, of course. He said, the officials in the Vatican, they're going to be like the ministers of the King of France. They wouldn't believe, they wouldn't obey, because they were supposed to consecrate France to the Sacred Heart, and they didn't. And then 100 years later, the king's head was chopped off, and that was the end of Catholic France and of the monarchy. Something like that, we just have a feeling, came about because the highest of the clergy wouldn't simply obey what our Blessed Mother asked for, even though the simple faithful were certainly more than willing and waiting and eager that it should be done. Because during all the time that communism spread, and Our Lady had the answer to communism, during all that time, one nation after another falling to communism, being consumed by communist Russia, hundreds of millions of people dying at the hands of the Reds, still, nothing was ever done. And for a long time at the beginning, the Vatican was entirely duped that they could make peace with the communists and everything would be all right, and what a terrible mistake. And so then, at the end now, since 1958, there is no pope, and it's just the laity and some priests, whom we hope don't get in the way too much, and actually do help the needs of souls. There's something in the divine office today. I was reading it during the High Mass, in the lessons from the Old Testament book of the Maccabees, appointed to be read today, how a wicked Jew came to a pagan king who was ruling over Palestine, the Holy Land, and got himself made the high priest. And as his payment, he betrayed, by means of a conspiracy, the Maccabees and the remnant of Israel who were keeping the true and the pure, the traditional faith that had been revealed to God. And the people all went along with it. Why? It says in the scriptures, and they sought peace of them, for they said, one that is a priest of the seed of Aaron is come, he will not deceive us. And he spoke to them peaceably, and he swore to them, saying, we will do no harm to you or your friends. They believed him, and he took 70 of them, and he slew them in one day, according to what is written, the flesh of thy saints and the blood of them they have shed round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. Truly apocalyptic days that we live through and we witness. And because we do, I think we lose the sense of it, the tragedy and the sense of urgency. May that be not the least of the graces that are granted to you and to the other faithful who will be joining us for the procession this evening, that we have some sense of that. If we have not seen the miracle of the sun, we have certainly seen and are living through the terrible chastisement prophesied. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.